Do I have it? Do we have it? Now, Joseph does, and that's nice. And Jacob did, that's nice. And Abraham and Isaac. But let's get down here to us where we live right now. Do you have it? Is there faith, or are you just reading this and saying, it's kind of nice, but I don't like what's his face. Well, it's kind of nice, but these kind of people bother me. No, we're Christians. We love everybody. Don't forget that.
Welcome to Apply Within, a verse-by-verse study of the Word of God with Pastor Bob Davis of North Country Chapel. We invite you to join with us as we, by the power of God's Holy Spirit, apply His Word within our own hearts as we study line upon line, precept upon precept, verse-by-verse, through the Bible. Concluding the book of Genesis in chapter 50, verse 18, Joseph reassures his brothers of God's sovereign plan for his people. Here's Pastor Bob.
And let's go to verse 18. His brethren also went in and fell down before him, just prostrate before him. Again, his dream, that prophecy dream he had around 17 years old or so. His brothers fell down before his face, and they said, "Behold, we are your servants," in American. "We're guilty, we're sorry." That's all we know we can say. Our lives are in your hands. We're your servants. The rest of our, you're going to do what you're going to do to us. And they know that. His brethren also went and fell down before his face, and they said, "Behold, we be your servants." And Joseph said to them just the same words Jesus said to his disciples, "Fear not, do not be afraid, for am I in God, the place of God? I'm not God. But as for you, you thought evil against me. You planned evil against me. You were mean to me. You were wrong. You sinned. You thought evil against me, but God meant it unto good, to bring to pass, as it is this day, to save many people alive. Now, therefore, do not be afraid. Fear ye not. I will nourish you and your little ones." And he comforted them, and he spoke kindly unto them. Isn't that what Jesus does to us? Isn't that what Jesus did to his disciples the night they were so afraid and confused, had no idea what was going on? Don't let your heart be troubled. Don't be afraid. You believe in God? Believe also in me. My Father's house are many mansions. Remember John 14, 1 through 6, read that. That's exactly what Joseph is doing here, a type of Jesus Christ, what he will do. And he will do it with you right now if we could humble ourselves. He would calm your heart. Because listen to this. Joseph's brothers fall down before him, bow down, and said, "We're yours. We're your servants for life. We've sinned, and there's no way to change it. There's no way to go back and undo it. It's done." Anybody here ever sinned? Don't raise your hand. You can't go back. You can't even go back to yesterday. You can't get back to this morning. You can't get back to an hour ago. What would Jesus say to you if you say, "I confess this"? I know what your friends would say, but that ain't going to count for nothing. What would Jesus say? "Don't be afraid. I paid for that." But look at how it's done. They know they're guilty. They deserve whatever happens to them. Have you, have I, have we yet come to that realization? Do you know that without Jesus, we are lost for eternity? Do you know that? All those people out there who make fun and spit and say all these things. Well, that's big talk now. But there's no getting back from there. Now is the time. We're yours, your servants. We're guilty. We deserve whatever happens to us now. We're at your mercy. We are your servants. I wrote this down. I think it was Dr. Ironside, I believe. The only people, now lock this in here, the only people God can forgive, the only people that God can forgive are those who know they're sinners. You will never ask for forgiveness if you don't know you're a sinner. You can't be forgiven. The only people that can be forgiven are those who will humble themselves and acknowledge it, who admit it, that they are sinners and they confess that they can't do anything to change it. They can't do anything to earn God's forgiveness. You understand that it's a free gift, right? If you receive Jesus, you're forgiven by grace through faith alone in Jesus Christ. His shed blood washes you clean. It is a gift of eternal life, freely given. So the only people that God can forgive are those that know they're sinners and admit that they can't be anything but. And they can't go back and fix it, can't change it. They can't change, the leper can't change his spots. And notice what Joseph does not do. He does not minimize their sin. Neither does Jesus. My sin is sin, no matter how pretty I try to make it look. Your sin is sin, no matter how pretty and you can cover it or do whatever. It's okay. If you belong to Jesus, it is washed and gone. Others will throw it in your face every time they have an opportunity, especially if they're in a bad mood or just don't like you. But Jesus will not do it. Notice Joseph does not minimize their sins. He says it right out loud. He says, "Don't be afraid. I'm not God." And he says, "It is true. You meant to do evil to me. When you threw me into that pit, when you sold me into slavery, you did that on purpose. That was wrong." So he's not saying, "I don't like you." What he's saying is he's not minimizing sin. Jesus says to you and me, "You come to me, give me your heart, ask me into your life, and I will wash all your sin away, all." And no matter what anybody says, from that moment through the rest of eternity, your sin is washed in the blood of the Lamb. I know some Christians that don't like that because they like to hold sins against their brothers and sisters. Kind of gives them an upper hand or something. I love what Joseph says. "You did do it." I agree. "You meant to harm me. I'm not God, and that's not what I'm going to do." He says, "You meant this for evil, but God meant it for good." You're telling me that Joseph believes that God let this happen for a reason? And I say to you, and Joseph says, "Absolutely, no doubt." Now think that through, Christian. Do you think God quit working that way as soon as Joseph died? And now, if you do pretty only just like respectable sins, you'll never have troubles, right? That's something that Christians believe. You just do these little respectable sins, you know, just talk behind everybody's back and just that. Those are respectable. You're not murdering and raping literally, and you're not beating people up and setting things up, right? Joseph does not minimize sin, neither does God. He paid for it in full, every bit of it. So we're not minimizing sin either. We're just saying, "My sin is gone by God's grace. I know you meant evil," he says. "You meant evil, but God meant it for good." God is in charge of everything. I wonder, do we believe that now? Is God in charge of everything? Or is there some sin that you'll never work out, work off, never, right? And I know that some Christians are in bondage and the jail cell is open, but they never come out. Come on out. It is by God's grace alone, in and through Jesus Christ alone, that your sins are washed away. And it is a free gift. He's not charging you anything for this. Wow. Do you remember the words of Jesus Christ on the cross? Luke 23:34. Jesus said, and he's on the cross now, and they're playing games at his feet, and people are spitting at him and making fun of him, the Sadducees and all around the cross. And then Jesus said, "Father, forgive them. They know not what they're doing." They don't understand what they're doing. And those people were parting his clothing and casting lots for the other. And what did Joseph finally do? "I know that you meant that. I understand that. I'm not mad. I'm not hurt. You're forgiven." I love you. And I just want you to know, he spoke kindly to them. When Jesus speaks to you, you probably don't hear a loud voice, but when he does, is he yelling? Is he saying, you know, you make me sick? No, I'll tell you, he's not saying, how do I know? Because he loves you and he's your high priest in heaven. He's there defending. If the Satan comes through and accuses you, he'll say, that one's mine. I paid the price for that. Gone. Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. So Joseph spoke kindly to them. What does that mean? Jesus was so kind to his disciples. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many dwelling places. If that wasn't true, I would tell you. And I'm going to prepare a place for you. And since I'm going, I'm going to come back and get you so that where I am, you will be there too. We don't know the way. Yes, you do. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. Those are kind words. And he promised them, Joseph did. He spoke kindly to them. He goes, guys, I love you. Don't bring it up ever again. If it crosses your mind, throw it in the trash because that's just not the way it is. I love you. That's just the way it is, Jesus says. I love you. Yeah, but Lord, I'm a loser. Every time I think I'm going to do good and then boom, I'm down again. I love you. Come on. Walk with me. Walk now. So he spoke kindly to them and did what? He promised them he's going to take care of them and their children. What did Jesus promise you? You come to me and I will give you rest. What did he promise you? Well, roses and rainbows. No. What did he say? No matter where you go, I'm with you. You, whatever you walk through, I'm walking with you. I'm before you. I'm behind you. I'm around you. We're doing this. You're never alone. So you get thrown out of the family. You get thrown out of the building. You get thrown out of the state. You get thrown wherever you go. You're not alone. You got the Lord Jesus Christ. Joseph spoke kindly to them, promised them he would take care of them and their children. Joseph just taught us, and of course, the Bible teaches us, and the New Testament is loaded with it, but it seems like we can't understand it, so we have to watch Joseph walk through it. What did Joseph say? He says, as for you, verse 20, you thought evil against me. Yeah, that was sin. That was wrong. You meant it for evil. God meant it for good. To bring to pass, as it is this day, to save many people alive. I don't know why my brothers threw me in that ditch. I don't know. They're jealous. I didn't ask my dad to give me the coat of many colors. I didn't go looking for the attention. I was trying to help. I was good at it. And because I was, people were jealous of that, Joseph says. I didn't do anything wrong. I did everything right. It's just that people don't like that. His brothers were jealous. But he says this, you did something, but it was God who did it. Now, do you believe that or not? They did it. They came up with a plan, but who did it? He says, you meant it for evil. God meant it for good. God had this planned all along. So if God be for us, Paul writes in Romans 8, who could be against us? Nobody. There are seven continents on this planet. Did you know that? I had to count them today to be sure. Because you never know. They change the map like they change the weather. I said, is Israel a continent or just a nation, right? You have to count and see. Seven continents on the planet. I've been to five out of the seven. Four out of the five, I was in all of those places right before I was 24 years old. Why? I don't know. But it sure comes in handy sometimes. Why did I have to go through that? Every 2 years, go to another school and fight with another bunch of people and fight your way in to befriend it, right? And some of you didn't experience anything like that. I've been in every state in the United States. I played. I'm pretty sure I played. I'm trying to think of, some of the smaller places. But yeah, even Iowa and the places, the flyover countries. I've been in every state in the United States, sang and played in every one of them. Not every place in them, but in every one of them. Why? I don't know. It's something that has to do with what he's called me to do. And I don't know, and I don't have to worry about it. But I can say this. The devil might have planned it to make us miserable, going from place to place, never being anywhere, never having a place to call home. I don't know what, but I know this. God, for me, needed to do that. And who cares why? Maybe we'll get to, and some of you, you were born and raised in one spot and you still only know that one spot. God bless you. Why? Because God's doing something totally different in your life, but you have to either believe it or not. Did God have a plan for Joseph before Joseph was born? The answer is yeah. Now, doesn't that freak you out about some of the things you've been through? But God gives you this, and you've wanted this, and you've wanted it, and you've wanted it, and then he takes it out of your hands, and it's not yours no more, and you're never getting it back. What do you do with that? What about you? Maybe you haven't been to 5 or 6 or all 7 continents. Have you been through all sorts of hardships? Trials, tragedies, pain? Suffering. I don't know anybody that hasn't. It's just a different level and a different place and a different way, but it's all the same stuff. What would you do if you had the opportunity to hurt somebody who really hurt you? I know what Jesus would do. Forgive them, Lord. They don't know. They don't understand what's going on. I love them. Joseph, I'm not God. You meant it for evil. I'm not minimizing your sin. It was sin. But you know what? God did this, and I'm not angry with you, and you're my brothers, and I love you no matter what. I'll take care of you and your families. Isn't that what he says? So if you had the opportunity to get somebody back because they hurt your one last feeling, would you take it? We call it bitterness. We call it revenge. We call it, you pick the word. No, I won't do that. He is the ultimate judge, and everybody's going to bow before him. We started out talking about that. So let's finish. This chapter should be almost done. Looking at 22. Joseph dwelt in Egypt. He and his father's house, all his family. Joseph lived 110 years. And Joseph saw Ephraim's children of the third generation, the children also of Machir, the son of Manasseh, were brought up upon Joseph's knee. He got to raise his kids and his grandkids and whatever up to the third generation, whatever. And Joseph said to his brethren, I'm dying. And God will surely visit you and bring you out of this land unto the land which he swore to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And Joseph took an oath of the children of Israel, made his brothers promise him, saying, God will surely visit you and shall carry you, you shall carry my bones away from here. I'm going to die here. But when God comes and gets you and takes you out of here, I don't know when it'll be, but it will be, take me with you, take my bones. So Joseph died, being 110 years old, and they embalmed him. That took about 40 days or more. And he was put in a coffin in Egypt. 110 years old, the youngest so far. And it looks like Joseph is the first one to die of all the 12 brothers. Joseph. God used him so mightily. And he's the first brother to die. Death. You think death is an accident? Death is an appointment. When Joseph was finished with the work he had to do on this earth, God didn't leave him here for another second. He took him straight home because God loves him and wants him to be with him. He loves you and wants you to be with him and me. And we'll go. He lived in Egypt for 93 years because he got there when he was 17. Joseph looks like he was the first of the sons of Israel to die. Before his death, though, he knew he was dying. He made his brothers promise that they would carry his bones with them when the nation of Israel finally left. You know what you call that? Yes, you do. Faith, right? Faith that God would take his children back to the promised land. God promised Abraham he would. God promised Isaac, promised Jacob. And Joseph says, God's going to take you back. How do you know? He said he would. And with God, a promise is a promise. I'm dying here, but you take me with you when you go. It's going to be 400 years. Faith that God would take the children back to the promised land. Faith that God does what he says he will do. Do you have it? Do I have it? Do we have it? Now, Joseph does, and that's nice. And Jacob did, that's nice. And Abraham and Isaac. But let's get down here to us where we live right now. Do you have it? Is there faith, or are you just reading this and saying, it's kind of nice, but I don't like what's his face. Well, it's kind of nice, but these kind of people bother me. No, we're Christians. We love everybody. Don't forget that. It's hard to remember with people acting like they are nowadays. But faith that God will do what he says he does. In other words, faith in God's promises. What is it? Hebrews 11:22. By faith, Joseph, when he died, made mention of the departing of the children of Israel and gave commandment concerning his bones. Why? Faith caused him to do that. When you guys leave, and I don't know when it's going to be, but I know you will because God promised you would, take me with you. And they did. They're going to carry his old bones to the promised land and bury him there. I guess we're done with the book. But let me say this, which is kind of really freaky. The book of Genesis begins with, in the beginning, God. Remember that way back 13 years ago when we started this? In the beginning, God. Look how it ends. He, Joseph, was put in a coffin. That's it. That's how it ends. Does yours end that way too? And he was put in a coffin in Egypt. What a great start. In the beginning, God. In the end, God was stuffed in a coffin. The end. I wondered what that meant. The book ends. The final words that are God-breathed of the book of Genesis. And he, Joseph, was put into a coffin. John Wesley helped me with this one. He says, God buries his workmen, but his work goes on. Notice how Joseph's work is still going on. We're learning from it. God used him powerfully and has been using him powerfully for years upon years, thousands of years. His testimony and all. Isn't that true? God buries his workmen, but his work goes on. Let me use a more complicated one. G. Campbell Morgan. So G. Campbell says, commit your life to God. Do the work that's nearest, closest. The work that he appoints to you, do it truly and well and faithfully, and die. Knowing that you have started the delicate influences, dynamic forces which will proceed through every succeeding generation until they gather up the harvest of glorious result around the throne of the eternal God. The man of God has not finished, or the woman of God has not finished his work in the world when they put him in a coffin. You share Jesus Christ with others, they put you in a coffin someday, the work still goes on. So it sounds funny to end the book of Genesis, and he was put in a coffin in Egypt. But the work that Joseph has done becomes a type of Jesus Christ, becomes a beautiful picture of faith. He has no bitterness. He has no hatred. He has no jealousy. He's just trying to serve where he's placed. If we could do that and stay busy doing the simple little thing God has us doing, I think we'll work a work by the power of God's Holy Spirit that will last eternity.
Thank you for listening to Apply Within with Pastor Bob Davis. Apply Within is a radio outreach ministry of North Country Chapel. Our Sunday morning Bible studies are at 9 and 11 a.m. We also have a Friday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. and a Monday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. You can download today's message in its entirety at northcountrychapel.com/studies. That's northcountrychapel.com/studies. If you would like a copy of today's message, write to us and ask for the message with today's date. The address is Apply Within, 2281 West Celtice, Post Falls, Idaho, 83854. Or call us at 1-800-572-8851. That number again, 1-800-572-8851. Our mobile app is available for iPhone and Android. Download it to listen to full-length studies, watch the live stream of our services, or to find out more about church events. If you have been blessed by the teaching or have prayer requests that you would like to share with us, write, email, or call us as well. Please join with us every Monday through Friday as we study together verse by verse on Apply Within, sponsored by North Country Chapel.